Christmas Day. I hope you get to meet some of the regulars here to actually come back at any time in the new year. You're more than welcome. It's great that you can actually come along here to church here at Barney's. Now, I just want to say a few words to stop and think about Christmas and a song about it, which apparently hits the top 10 on a regular basis, even here in Australia. It's the most wonderful time of the year. A description of Christmas time. Parties for hosting, marshmallows for roasting, loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas is a great time of the year. But then as you read through that passage that was read out for us there, in verse 14, you get to verse 14 and you think to yourself, is Christmas at the same time a little bit of a scam? That maybe it's a bit of a hoax, there's a failure going on here. Did you see in verse 14, the angels are praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest heaven. And then they say, on earth, peace. And you look at the world around us and you think to yourself, what peace? You've got Israel and Gaza, Ukraine, Russia, the Red Sea. What happened to peace in those places? Or a little bit closer to home? There's things that weigh us down, maybe things that we don't share with the people around us. There's things that keep us up at night. Somebody who's going through a hard time, a health issue, the finances. It doesn't feel like peace. Even this past week, for a lot of people, leading up to Christmas is hardly peaceful. You know, you just wander across to Chatswood and you try parking your car, the traffic there. How do you juggle the family events? And when they start clashing and who wants what date, trying to find a perfect present, trying to find any present. And so if Christmas is meant to be peace on earth, is it a scam? It's a fairy tale. Maybe it's a little bit like Disneyland. You know, it's a little bit of harmless fun, a bit of make-believe. And so when you go to Disneyland, you see Mickey and Goofy, and you know that they're not real. And Cinderella's castle is not really a castle. And so you play along a little bit, you see Mickey, you shake his hand, you take a photo with him. But then you get back to real life. And it can be a little bit the same with Christmas. You've got not Mickey and Goofy, you've got Mary and Joseph, and then you get back to real life. Is that what Christmas is? A bit of fun, but a bit of make-believe. Now, according to God's word, according to Luke, which was read out for us, the answer is absolutely not. Just take a look at the start of Luke chapter 2, if you've got the passage there open in front of you, or just to listen out, let me read chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Now, we're reading from Luke's gospel. Luke is one of the four accounts of Jesus' life. And he deliberately writes history. This is not once upon a time in a galaxy far away. He says, this happened at a real time, in a real place, with real people. And you can check it out. This is history. Caesar Augustus was the emperor, 63 BC to 14 AD. We read in verse 3, Quirinius was the governor of Syria. These things, they happened. And it's the same with the events in verse 4 onwards. We read about Mary and Joseph. They're from Nazareth, which is up there in the north. And they make their way down to Bethlehem, which, if you'll hear yesterday, is important. Because Bethlehem is where the king is going to be born. And they go down to Bethlehem because there is a census. Basically, Caesar Augustus wants to do a head count because it affects the taxes. And when they get there, Jesus is born. They place him in a manger, a feeding trough, because they can't find a room. Now, all that is very exciting. Having a baby, although I'm pretty sure that Mary would prefer to be somewhere else, to actually have a room. But then the camera zooms out from the mum and the dad and the baby, and it pans across the whole of Bethlehem, and it zooms in to the middle of nowhere, to the countryside. And we see a few sheep and their shepherds watching over them, and it's nighttime. If you're one of the shepherds back then, What's one word that describes what happens next? Now, you might think about the carols. Silent night, everything is calm, everything is bright. Star of wonder, maybe there's that amazement. For the shepherds, what happens next is terrifying. They are scared witless at this point. An angel appears. And if that's not enough, you get down to verse 13. There's a whole bunch of them. The sky is on fire with angels. Now, back in the old days, and I probably use that word a little bit carefully because different generations here in the room, but back in the old days, compared to my kids at least, what you would do is that if you had a baby, you would put a notice in the newspaper. And you still can. You can put a birth notice into the newspaper. I was looking at the Sydney Morning Herald, and nowadays it's online, but you have birth notices there. So I was reading one of them. James and Sheridan Pelham are delighted to announce the birth of their son, Luca Emmanuel Pelham, 2.8 kilos, 46 centimetres long. September this year, Lavinia Crystal Wicken, a little sister for John. And that's really cute because actually you can go back 2 years earlier and there is little John and his birth notice. Here in Luke chapter 2, here is God's version of a birth notice. But back then they didn't have the Sydney Morning Herald. They didn't have Facebook where you can post things. So what does God do? He blazes the sky with a birth notice. And he sends a whole bunch of angels. In verse 10, the angel says, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." That's a pretty good birth notice, isn't it? Here is good news. It's going to bring great joy, and it's for everyone. And the angels say two things about Jesus as part of this birth notice. They say who he is and what he does. And so, first of all, who is Jesus? It's there in verse 11. "Today in the town of David, the Messiah, the Lord." Messiah and Savior. The Messiah is the King that has been promised all the way back in the Old Testament for hundreds of years. Not just any King, but God's King. He's going to bring in God's kingdom. This is a king who's not corrupt, who's not out for himself, a king who is good, who's righteous, who always does the right thing. And one of the things that a king does is that he leads his people. He protects them. And so this king is going to be the Savior. Do you see who Jesus is here in chapter 2? You know, a lot of times people think about Jesus that Jesus is a teacher, but he's more than that. A lot of times people think that Jesus is an example of how we should live. But again, he's more than that. He's not just a religious leader. He's not just a doer of good works. He's way more than that. He is King and Savior. This is who God sends at Christmas time. It is God's Christmas gift to us. Now, you can tell a lot about somebody or what somebody's actually trying to say by the gift that they give you sometimes. So if, for example, your spouse gives you a cookbook, maybe they're saying something about your cooking and trying to give you some hints. If you get deodorant as a gift, not just from one friend, but from numerous friends, they're probably trying to say something to you. If they give you foot odor, you know, those little balls are odor eaters, they're really trying to say something to you. The gift that God gives us is at Christmas tells us something that is really important. God says to us that we need to be saved. That's why he sends a Savior. The problem is that all of us have this problem, that we actually are not right with God. Not by ourselves. None of us are. And all of us have that same problem. Imagine going to a Christmas party where everything is laid out beautifully. The food is fantastic. There's music. The place has been done up. It's decorated. And the guests come to this Christmas party. And they enjoy everything. They eat the food. There's gifts laid out for everyone. The host has been generous. The host has actually put on this party. He's provided all these things out of his own pocket, and it's lavish. The host has been generous. Now, the guests enjoy the party at the host's expense, but they completely ignore the host. And it's not that he's gone out for milk or for some ice. He's there, but they don't care. Actually, they don't even believe the host exists. In fact, this whole party just came about spontaneously through natural processes. It just happened to be there. Now, if you were the host, how would you feel? If your friend was hosting a party like this, what would you tell your friend to do? You'd probably tell your friend to kick all those guests out because they don't deserve it. That's what they deserve, to actually be kicked out of this party. That unthinkable situation, that'll never happen. That's what we do to God. We enjoy all of God's gifts. He's the host of the party. He's been lavish. He's been generous. Everything comes from him, everything that we have. And we ignore him. We act as if he doesn't exist. Or we only think about God when it suits us. But otherwise, we're in charge. And that's a problem. Because we shouldn't just be kicked out of the party. God should be angry at us. To face God's judgment, that should be the end of the story. The amazing thing is that that is not the end. That's why Christmas is good news, why it's great joy, because God doesn't just leave the story there. He sends a Savior. He sends His Son, who does amazing things as He grows up, who lives a perfect life. But the most amazing thing that He does is that at the end of the book of Luke, He dies on a cross to save us. That's the peace that Jesus brings, a perfect relationship with God. Forgiveness for everything that we have done that's wrong. Instead of being enemies of God, we get to call God Father. That is incredible. That is what God does at Christmas time in this gift of His Son. Jesus brings peace. Have you ever done one of those secret Santas? You know, where you buy a gift for somebody except they don't know who it is. You don't know who it is that's buying the gift for you. Now imagine getting Bill Gates as your secret Santa. A guy who has unlimited resources. That's what happened to this woman by the name of Shelby. Reddit is a website. They organize a secret Santa every year. Bill Gates has been doing it ever since 2013. And the idea is that you fill out this questionnaire that shows what you're interested in, give the person a few hints, and then their job is to work out what to buy you that matches the things that you're interested in. Now, here's a few things that Shelby received back in 2019. She got toys for her pet cat. She got a cat-themed logic game. She got a Harry Potter Santa hat, a Harry Potter Lego set. She got Zelda earrings because she got a Zelda blanket. You can sort of see the things that she's interested in by some of these gifts. She got a manuscript copy of The Great Gatsby, her favorite book, that was signed by Bill Gates. A bunch of other things. The box was so big they couldn't even fit it into the car. And the most meaningful gift was a donation to the American Heart Association in memory of her mother who had died earlier that year. And what was really amazing was that this was not something that she'd even written down, but Bill Gates had looked her up, because he makes a point that when he does Secret Santa, he gives the person what they want and what they need. God gives us exactly what we need. It might not be a big box that can fit into the car. It might not be our Christmas wish list. It's better than that. God gives us His Son. God gives us peace. And that's what the angels are talking about in verse 14. Peace, not necessarily in Gaza or Ukraine, but a relationship with God that is perfect and that lasts forever. Now, the question that I want to finish up on this morning, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with this gift? Out of all the presents that you get this year, there is one that's there under the Christmas tree, and it's from God. Now, you've got a couple of choices at that point. You can just leave it there, that gift of His Son, that gift of peace. But the opposite of that is to keep being enemies of God if we just leave it there. And that is not a good thing, to ignore that gift. We can just leave it there under the Christmas tree, or we can do what the shepherds do, and to come and see this thing that has happened, announced by the angels, that birth notice that God puts in the sky, to come and see Jesus. We would love you to come to church in the new year. We run a course called Christianity Explored to find out about who Jesus is. Let us know if you'd like to do something like that. Get in touch with us. And if you are here this morning and you've already done that, if you've already put your trust in Jesus, out of all the gifts that you get this year, be amazed at the one that God gives us, a baby, His Son. And I know that for some people here that there are big things, some real struggles that you are going through, some things where you really would love that peace. God gives you a peace that is bigger than anything that is keeping you up at night, anything that you're struggling with either this year or in the year to come. He gives a place in His kingdom. He gives a relationship with God where we can call Him Father, a relationship that starts now and goes forever. Hold on to that peace and be amazed by what God does for us at Christmas time as you celebrate later today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for being a wonderful and generous God. We are sorry for the times that we ignore You. We are sorry when we try to run life our own way as if You didn't exist. We thank You that You have given us this amazing gift at Christmas time, that You give us Jesus. We pray that we might see Him as He truly is, that He is the King and that He is a Savior and the one who brings us peace. Help us to be amazed all over again at Christmas time as we think about Your love and generosity to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.